Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody. Alex, I forgot to ask, is your neighbor still blasting Taylor Swift at high volume?
You know what?
Did they stop?
I can't tell anymore. Well, the person downstairs is walking around very heavily because they wear like concrete shoes or something. So my whole floor is shaking.
Okay.
And I think we have a brief reprieve from the neighbor next door who decided to, right before we started this, blast their music.
All right, let's go fast. Let's go fast. Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Speaking of gotta go fast.
Oh my gosh, what a transition.
We went to the Sonic store, or whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
The
whatever
Sonic Speed Cafe, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Guys, did we talk about this? I think we did mention we were going to go.
I just edited the previous episode,
okay.
In which my audio was terrible, by the way.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer. We said we were going to report back on that thing, and boy howdy was my stomach upset for the next 24 hours after that.
Boy howdy. Oh my gosh. Okay, so if you guys aren't familiar, well, maybe you are, because I think it goes around the country.
Gotta go fast around the country.
I'm not really sure. Anyway, it was in our town, and so we were very excited to go and check it out. We were under no, like, delusions of what this was going to be. It was, like, greasy, fast food, pop-up cafe, standard fare.
It was like the most basic. It was like the
it was basic.
Dictionary definition of fast food.
It was even like lower than that.
It was like clip art of fast food.
I mean, the novelty was the fact that it was like Sonic themed. So it's in this little strip mall. It's kind of a nondescript storefront, except for like the one little like plastic banner they hung up with the logo on it.
Hey, there were cutouts of Sonic and Tails and stuff.
Okay, they did have, like, a tree, like, a palm tree with, like, rings hanging from the ceiling, so that was cute. I do want to post the pictures on Instagram, so if you guys follow us over on Instagram, you can see those. That'll be fun.
Wait, you use the Out of the Drying Pan Instagram?
I use the Out of the Drying Pan Instagram.
That's
I just posted something, actually.
You
shout
did?
Out to me. Whoop, whoop. Yes, I did.
I just checked it earlier today.
Well, I just posted in celebration of our new foray into Hoenn, so you guys can go check out the new post.
It's our annual post on Instagram.
I'm really trying to be better, okay? But it's really hard when you have a full-time job, so I'm so sorry. So yeah, I'll throw up the pictures on Instagram. You guys can see what we experienced at the Sonic Cafe. What did you get? Remind me what you got at the cafe.
I don't know. I got like the Shadow Meal.
The Shadow Meal.
Something that upset my stomach and made me like really bloated. That's what I got.
You got the, but you sprang for like the kind of top tier thing. Like it was the whole meal with a t-shirt and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got the t-shirt, which I was disappointed that we didn't have the t-shirt tailored to the local area we're in. It didn't have the name of the city
the
on
city
it.
The city name.
It just had Sonic on it. And I was like, okay, I guess.
So we were kind of late to the party. It's been around for a few weeks now.
You got to go fast.
Yeah, apparently. Well, it was intentional that we went later because we don't really do well in big crowds. And the place was tiny. Could you imagine?
It was a hole in the wall. It was like they found the cheapest real estate they could find.
But yeah, it was fun. It wasn't the best food in the world, but that wasn't why we went, like you said. It was an experience. I'm sorry your stomach was upset.
I've been had a cold. I may or may not have had the flu. I may or may not have given you the flu.
Yeah, so Austin was spreading his plague around.
I felt fine.
Speaking of plague, we watched Nosferatu 2.
Okay, what did you think of Nosferatu?
I loved it.
Okay, great. I'm glad you liked it. I liked it too. Don't get me wrong.
I love I don't even know what you could call it. It was
gothic
very, like,
romance horror.
Yes. It was we talked about this. It was Crimson Peak coded, in my opinion. I love that movie, by the way.
Weirdly enough, it reminded me of the silent film Nosferatu.
Weirdly enough.
The German expressionist film.
I had nostalgia for a few years back when we decided we were going to watch all of the Dracula movies.
Well, there's like 7,000 Dracula movies, so that wasn't going to happen.
We didn't end up completing that goal, but we did watch a couple. We watched the Bela Lugosi Dracula from the 30s, and we watched, I don't remember when it came out, but the Gary Oldman.
It was 90s.
Dracula. In the 90s, okay. With his terrible hair.
But we didn't watch Dracula 2000 with pre-steroids Gerard Butler.
We did not. We were gonna, but we fell off of it before we could ever get there, and that was years ago, so
darn, shame on us. We did watch Nosferatu.
In prep for Oscars time, because Austin's ritual that
we had to watch as many Oscar movies as we could, or at least I did, because that's what I do every year. And of course, I did not see Anora because it wasn't on Hulu yet, and it won, but whatever. But the real best picture of the year, let's be real, was The Substance.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so out of all the Oscar movies, like, I watched two with you, Nosferatu and The Substance. Wait, did we watch another one?
Wild Robot.
We tried to watch Wild Robot.
I finished it.
Did you... What was your...
I don't see what the big... It was not that... I don't know what people were freaking out about. That was not that
I'm
great.
Sorry. If there's any Wild Robot fans out there who are like, how dare you out of the drying pan? I'm sorry. I
liked it more in theory than in practice.
I tried to like it. I do want to watch Flow, though.
Oh my god. Flow was so good.
Oh, you saw it? Oh, no.
Oh, it's on Max.
Okay, I'm going to watch it with Josh. He wanted to watch it.
It's so good.
Okay, I heard that. But yeah, The Substance was... really good too. We watched that all together.
My favorite part was during the final sequence.
Good god,
when my eyes were as wide as they've ever been in my life, and I looked over at you and Josh, and you both had the same expression I had in our faces. We were all like, is this really happening?
I know, because it got to the part, no spoilers, it got to the end part, the end sequence, and it took a turn that we weren't expecting it to take at all, and I was just like, I was not prepared, and I didn't know where it was going to go from there. So it was insane.
You know what? Okay, I read this. I don't know if it's true. I think Universal had a deal with that film. They were going to
really
release it, but because they wouldn't change the ending, they didn't end up doing it, and that's why it had to be on Mubi. I'm glad Mubi's getting the attention it wants, so...
Literally, I would have never known what Mubi was without this.
It's so good. It's so good, y'all.
The Substance, not Mubi. I don't know anything about Mubi. I'm not plugging Mubi. No. This is not a plug for them or anything. It's just where it was at. It's so good, though. It's a good movie. What else were we going to talk about? I thought we had other stuff we were going to talk about.
I can't remember anything, but I do know we have a lot of listener comments and feedback we need to catch up on.
Ooh, is it listener feedback corner time?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
I will go first if I had Instagram open like I promised.
Okay, why don't I go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first? Because I'm unprepared as always. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, first is an email from Ben, who we've had plenty of correspondence with.
Oh, Ben, our friend who did the ad libs, or yes, Mad Libs, and Mad Libs. All that. Love that.
Ben, he has a question for us.
Ooh, I hope I had an answer.
If Misty had gone to Hoenn with Ash, which Pokemon do you think she would have caught? Which Pokemon do you think Brock should have caught instead of Mudkip and Lotab? Because Brock is a rock-type gym leader, and it's weird that Steve didn't get steel and ground types.
You know what, Ben? That is a damn good question, and now that I'm thinking about that, why doesn't he get any rock types?
I told you this question in advance, and you said you had an answer.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh my god, me and my amnesia. I'm unprepared. God, why didn't we
I'm prepared. I'm prepared.
Okay, I'm going to stall for time. You go. This is embarrassing.
Okay, here's what my answer is going to be. In this scenario, Misty and Brock both go to Hoenn with Ash, and May and Max join the group. May and Ash are going to retain their teams. However, I'm going to change Misty's. The only one she's going to take with her is her freshly evolved Togetic, who evolved during the Larvitar arc because it realized it can't be a baby anymore. And it realized it valued its friendship with Misty, and it was hanging on to Togepi because it was afraid it would no longer be her favorite Pokemon or whatever if she couldn't continue to baby it. But Misty proved that she would love Togepi no matter what, and it evolved into a Togetic. So now it rides on her shoulder with her and Hoenn, and her captures are going to be Mudkip and Lotad.
Oh, she would have got Brock's Pokemon.
Correct.
Wow, that's a good answer.
Lotad is the new Psyduck, and Mudkip is her battling Pokemon.
That is such a good analysis. I really like that.
There's also going to be an episode where she meets a Surskit, and she gets over her fear of bug-type Pokemon.
Because it's a water-type, too. Oh my gosh, that was...
Mm-hmm.
That would have been so good. Stop making me... Oh.
Also, the Manaphy movie is going to focus on Misty instead of May, but I'm going to make it so May is the main character of the Deoxys movie.
That's so good. I'm so upset. We never had that.
Now, Brock, meanwhile.
Brock.
I thought about it. I decided I'm just going to give him an Aeron.
Oh, I was thinking that.
He's going to get an Aeron. I think that's cute. He's going to keep Fortress, so he's going to have two Steel types. Mm-hmm. But he's also going to get a mischievous Sableye. It has rocks all over its body.
Oh, okay. I would not have considered Sableye. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love that answer. And I feel like I can't say Aeron too, because...
Yeah, you can.
Okay, well, I'm scrolling through the list, and I would say... Well, we can't give them, like, fossils, because those are too special, I guess. Do ground types count for Brock? Like...
It's your answer. I gave him a Sableye.
Okay, I think, like, it might be interesting if he got a ball toy.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't really have, like, a reason why. I just think it'd be interesting. I don't know. It'd be interesting if they had, like, a psychic type on hand. Plus, it's a ground type. I also would say that maybe it would be fun if he had a Numble. I don't know. I love Numble. It's a fire type and ground type. Honestly, Aeron's the only one that makes sense. But also maybe like a cute Mawile that's like, maybe it could have been like the Chikorita to Brock's like situation.
You want more of that?
What kind of personality would you give it? I'm trying to think of like the main personality types. I thought it could be like enamored with Brock or something.
I give it a Mean Girl Mawile, like Regina George Mawile.
Oh, Regina George Mawile. You can't sit with us. I don't think it would go over well if one of the main twerp Pokemon was like an asshole though. Maybe like a Whismur, because that's kind of like a timid Pokemon.
I was thinking of Whismur.
Whismur might be good.
And it can dance with him.
Yeah, instead of Lotad, because like you said, Misty could get Lotad and it could be her thing. I don't know. I think Whismur would be a good one too. Honestly, I think anything else that they did would have been better than what they did. As far as Misty goes, I think you got it right. I really don't think I have any other like answers. I mean, you couldn't really give Misty a Whalmer because it's a whale and it can't be there with them. It runs into the same issue as Goldeen.
That's the problem with water types, is like most of them are like need to be in the water. I don't want a Goldeen 2.0.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the Surskit thing is absolutely perfect because they could have had an arc, like you said, about her overcoming her fear of bugs.
Oh, you want her to catch it?
Yeah, and a Masquerain kind of fits her aesthetic. It's orange and white. Like, she's orange hair, so I don't know. Like, there's not really any other good water types that you could really give her that could, like, be there.
Yeah, like a Lovedisc or, like, a Gorbis or...
Well, those are all, like, super aquatic. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
Even Milotic. Oh, you know what would be fun? A cast form. A Sphiel would be really cute.
Oh, I agree with Sphiel.
Okay, yeah, those are my answers.
All right, Ben's email continues. You getting to Hoenn brings me back to March 2003, when I watched the special preview of Advanced Generations Episodes 1 and 2. I forgot about that.
Oh.
I wasn't watching Kids WB at the time. I forgot that happened.
I certainly wasn't. I think we've discussed this before.
They aired the first two Hoenn episodes during Johto.
Why?
To promote Ruby and Sapphire? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They did it again with X and Y. What was crazy with XY was they aired the dub episodes of XY early, and they retained the Japanese soundtrack. And then later, they redubbed those XY episodes to use the awful dub soundtrack instead. I remember that happening. Okay. Anyway,
drama.
Ben says, it was very bittersweet since he could tell that the Pokemon craze was over, but hopefully going home with you two will be a happier time.
We hope so too. Stick with us.
Ben actually sent a second email after that one. So let's
read
this one too.
Okay.
In response to our first Hoenn episode, he said he had a Mandela effect situation because he thought Jessie went more into her backstory about Little Root Town. But that would make a great premise for a fanfic. Maybe. He was also surprised by how different May was. and how basically her storyline for Wanderlust is going to get dropped really quickly. Ben also noticed how Professor Birch and Ash talked so much about May registering for the Pokemon League, and he thought it'd be cool for a companion of Ash to be in the league along with Ash, but I know it would look pathetic for the gym leaders if they all got beaten twice in a row. I agree with that, and I also think it'd be boring for us, the audience.
Yeah, it'd be the same twice, yeah. It would be redundant, for sure.
But he did ask, what are your impressions of the Pokemon Day reveals? All right, Alex,
we didn't talk about... Yeah, okay, no, I'm glad we brought this up now, because we didn't talk about it in the week talk opening segment. I'm trying to remember what the highlights were, and honestly, for me personally, and I'm not saying that this is the case for the vast majority of people, and it may be different for you too, Austin, but for me, I'm really only focused on the mainline games. I'm not into the TCG scene, and I'm not into, like, the competitive scene, and, like, even the mobile stuff, like Cafe Remix or any of those. Like, it's just not as front and center, so I really can't speak to those, but I don't know. I'm curious about Pokemon Champions, even though I'm not a competitive person.
I don't think it's for us. It looks like it's Pokemon Showdown on your phone.
Yeah.
I have to know more about it to have thoughts about it.
Yeah, I guess if I see it in action and kind of determine, like, what it's about. I mean, if it's multiplayer, online, competitive, just, like, in your backyard, like, that doesn't appeal to me personally. If it's something we could do as, like, a party game, like, among friends, like a stadium situation, okay, maybe.
That was my question. Why is it not Pokemon Stadium? Why is it not called that?
I don't know.
The premise of Pokemon Stadium, and I guess Pokemon Battle Revolution or whatever, was take the characters from the game and make 3D models of them and have battles on the TV, so it's easier than using a link cable. This right. is basically that, where it's all the Pokemon in one central area, and you're battling with them. So why is it not called Pokemon Stadium? It has to be some sort of legal or branding reasoning, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But I wish it was like Pokemon Stadium Champions or something.
I know. Why couldn't they have used that as like a subtitle? Like, that'd be perfect. Pokemon Stadium Champions or something would be...
Pokemon Stadium Ultimate.
Anything. You know, there was some kind of like focus group something extensively with that name before they got to that point, so...
I mean, Pokemon Champions is a good name for a game.
Sure.
That's a pretty obvious one to go for.
Yeah, we'll see what it's like. I will say that I knew this was like a pipe dream, and I knew, of course, this wasn't going to be a thing, but somewhere in like my deep, deep wishes, I was like, oh my god, what if they announced a Let's Go Johto? They did not.
Not this year.
Not this year, but not, well, never say never, maybe at some point. The big announcement, of course, was ZA.
I'm not disappointed because I had no expectations, but I'm not excited for ZA. I hope it surprises me.
How did you feel about Legends Arceus? Like when that first...
I loved Legends Arceus.
No, I know, but like during the marketing phase, like what were you thinking?
I love the marketing phase of Legends Arceus.
So, but you're not enthused about Legends ZA.
I just don't know. This is not an original complaint. I don't know if being in the city for the whole game is going to keep my attention necessarily. They're going to have to like it, make it really exciting for me to be really intrigued with that environment for an entire
Austin,
game.
And just anybody listening, I'm sorry, please don't come at me, but if you're gonna sit there and say I hope they make it exciting for me, blah blah blah, I would yeah. take your expectations.
My problem is cities on the Pokemon Switch games have notoriously been awful.
I'm really afraid that they're not gonna learn their lesson from Scarlet and Violet cities, and I'm really dreading that. Like, if it's the same situation as, what's the main town? I'm sorry, I never really played Scarlet. Like, the main big town where the school is at.
Is it Mesagoza? Did I make that up? Mesagoza. Is that real?
I think you're right. If it's like that, I'm sorry. That's going to be terrible.
Oh, that was awful.
That was just bad, straight bad. I'm not even, like, going to defend it. It was shit.
No, there's no defending it. It was just bad.
I mean, I know, like, any fandom, people will pick stuff out and complain about anything. And honestly, we complain about stuff, too. It's just human nature to complain, I guess. But I do kind of agree with the initial comments that I was seeing online about the graphics and just like...
I don't care about the graphics. I just don't care.
I mean, I'm not really a graphics purist where it has to be like the most cutting edge thing. But I really want to see them populate the city, make it interesting, have side quests, have explorable areas. Like, what is the problem with that? Why can't they do that? Make it entertaining in the sense of, like, okay, if this is a... Would you consider Pokemon Legends to be, like, an action RPG?
No. But this one has more action RPG elements than the first Legends did.
Sure.
Because the Pokemon are moving around and there's cooldown times.
See, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I'm actually excited about that. I think I'll do anything for Pokemon gameplay to be more novel than it is. So I will gladly take it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'll take it.
You're moving around in tandem with your Pokemon. And the trainer can take damage? Is that what I'm understanding? Or am I wrong on that?
I mean, you can move around during the battles in Legends Arceus.
So how is it different from that then?
Because it looks like now it's part of the vital gameplay instead of just being a background element.
Okay. Well, you have more recent experience with Legends.
That's because I actually play the games, unlike certain people.
I know.
I have played all the Switch games all the way through.
I'm proud of you. Anyway, to answer your question, Ben, I don't know. I mean, Legends ZA seems good. We'll see. Of course, we will buy the games. As much as we say, oh, boo on this aspect of it, or oh, they could do better here, we buy them regardless. So
Ben continues, he was pretty disappointed that they didn't reveal the early generation compilations that were rumored.
What does that mean exactly?
He means like the Pokemon Memories and Pokemon Reminiscence rumor that was going around.
Oh, we talked about that.
That was not gonna happen.
Although I will say, to that point, it is fun in between Pokemon games where the speculation and the leaks are rampant. Because I really love looking back on stuff and being like, oh, that was completely fake. Or, oh, that was kind of real. Or that is adjacent to this in some way. But I really love the creativity the fandom comes up with and the fake leaks that come out. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's your favorite part, is the speculation.
It is. The speculation. It's so fun.
Well, Ben continues that the current situation with these older games really sucks. That's not a verbatim quote. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Because you buy used copies, like the cartridge becomes unreadable. My main concern is how these old cartridges' batteries don't work and you got to replace them and it doesn't save. Ben says it'd be nice to play old Pokemon games with fresh equipment. I do agree with that. I'm pro emulation and this stuff being available. I completely agree. I think it should be cheap and accessible because it's old content. But that's just me. I'm not a mega corporation. What do I know? I will say, I personally, this is beyond silly and will never happen. What I really want them to do is take the old Pokemon Blue version from Japan, give it an English translation, call it Pokemon Green, and release it.
Oh my gosh.
I would be over the moon with that. That'd be so fun and cute.
That would be amazing. You know, honestly, I'm not really sure the mindset behind why they don't make these older games materials more easily accessible. Pokemon's one of those franchises where regardless of what they do, like, they could literally take a shit in a box,
call it Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, but the fandom will eat it up. It Pokemon prints money regardless of it. They could literally repackage any of those old games and not do a single damn thing to it and just be like, oh, here it is on Switch, you know, you can emulate it on Switch now, whatever. People will eat it up. They would pay full price. They would pay $60. Would it be worth that? Of course not. But they would do it. So I'm not really sure the aversion, why they don't. I also agree. I think instead of having to dig around in some box, pull out your old Game Boy Color, dust off your old cartridges, and pray to God that, you know, the battery internally isn't fucked, so you can actually, like you said, save your game or do anything. Why do you have to go through that, you know, rigmarole when you can just boot up the Switch? I do not know.
To complete Ben's email, on a happier note, I'm excited from all reveals about Legends EA. I'm a huge Francophile and speak French, so I'm always ready to go to Kalos. If you have any questions about the French language, record it on the podcast and I'll do my best to answer. Ooh. Between the starters, I'm choosing our sass queen, Chikorita. Don't suffer any hate from the internet trolls. Okay, Ben, I'm with you. I'm also Team Chikorita at the moment.
Oh no, I'm alone.
It'll have to be until we see the final forms, because I'm sure they're going to get Megas or something. But at the moment, Team Chikorita.
Okay, I'm alone on my island of Tepig.
Tepig!
Tepig!
I thought you were going to say Totodile.
Okay, so I was thinking about this. I love starter talk. I love the starters. It's my favorite aspect of a new Pokemon game, even though these are old starters, these are not new. But like, just the beginning of an adventure, it's always the best part. I was thinking about it, though. Like, after we watched the video and we were talking about it, I know you immediately said Chikorita. I was kind of on the fence between Totodile and Tepig, but I used Totodile in Gold version way back in the day. But I've never used Tepig, ever, in any game. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should give it a fair shake. Something new. I don't know. Yeah,
something new, something different, something pig.
Borrowed something blue, pig.
All right, moving on to Spotify. Pokemon Megastar has some comments for us. To quote Pokemon Megastar, the Shekel is purple. Sorry, Alex.
I am shook. I'm shook.
You, but you aren't blue. Anyway, parting is such sweet sorrow, but I'm A-okay with throwing Johto out. This has been quite the fun, even if long series. Then again, I re-listened to this podcast 3 times throughout Johto to catch up.
Whoa.
Thank you for the downloads.
Yeah, thank you. Oh my gosh.
The first episode of the final 2 Johto episodes should have been a 2-parter, even though the second one gave us Captain Daddy. Ampharos is my favorite from the gen.
I'm so glad we're making Captain Daddy a thing.
That's because you call everyone a daddy.
I know. My God. I'm so unoriginal. I'm so sorry.
It's funny how Ash and Brock both got top MVP and LVP. That's true. Time to advance to the next gen. Ha ha ha.
Ayo. Thank you, Pokemon Megastar. You are a real one. Except for the purple thing. I can't agree with you. I'm so sorry.
All right. Next one for advanced one. Advanced new podcast. Same old greatness. I'm glad I reminded you to get that rug. Damn right. Thank you for that. Because that rug needed to go. Although I will say I went back to the dumpster and it said, if you throw out carpets in this dumpster, there will be a minimum $1,000 fine.
They're not going to know it was you. I swear
to God. There's a camera set up.
They're not going to fine you for the carpet that wasn't even your carpet. And honestly, if they do say something, I would be the most obstinate person. I would dig my heels in so deep. I'd be like, fuck that. It was there over this railing for like a year and a half.
I have done that before. I have fought with property owners and lost too many times to count.
I'll fight for you. I will go to bat for you,
Austin. All right,
great. I'll let you do it. I will make sure they will not do this. Now that they have, I think we will not suffer an injustice, but I honestly think they're not going to say anything.
I don't either. Pokemon Megastar continues. I find I Want to Be a Hero to be underrated.
Oh, the theme song.
A music YouTuber called Silverstorm did an amazing cover that I would recommend to listen. Oh, I actually did listen to that, and I liked it.
Okay.
I will co-sign that recommendation. Anyway, Pokemon Megastar continues. May is quite interesting to see early on. I also wasn't expecting her to be so different. Also, I just watched these episodes and didn't realize Veronica Taylor voiced both May and Ash.
Isn't it weird listening to her talk to herself? I don't know. It's just me.
I always forget, but like I know that intellectually, but I forget.
How do you forget? They sound similar enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being picky.
They were not expecting the Brock episode to be next and can't wait. Well, you've heard it by now. We really had a lot to say about the Brock episode.
I can't wait to listen to it. I haven't listened to it yet.
Last thing I will say is that Mikey from Pokemon Crossroads gave our first Hoenn episode a listen and chimed in that shiny Shekel is blue. Then I showed Mikey a picture of Shekel from the episode and was like, what about this?
You doctored whatever fucking picture you showed.
I did not doctor this shit.
This is cheating, cheating,
no,
cheating,
it's cheating. Going back to the primary source is what it is.
No, it's
not. And then Mikey said, well, that must be pre-Generation 3 animation weirdness. And I was like, yeah, that's a nice way of saying the Shekel is purple. Just saying.
It is not purple. My God, people, it is not purple.
It's purple.
Okay, well, I will die on this hill. Anyway, I have comments. Is that all your comments?
Because that's all my comments. That was a lot of comments.
I have comments. This is over on Instagram. Our listener, Liam, has given us a couple of comments over the last couple of weeks. Liam is a real one because his first comment says, when I was a kid, I thought the Shekel was purple, but it's definitely blue.
Boo.
Booyah. Boo fucking yeah. Liam, thank you.
When you were a kid, your eyes were not as damaged as they are now.
Oh my God.
Were correct. They are purple.
Don't insult the listeners, Austin.
It's not a problem to have problems with your eyes. We both wear glasses. I have astigmatism. I can't drive at night because of the damn lights.
Well, I do too, but I still see it correctly and it's blue. And I just want everybody listening to know that, see how Austin attacks anybody who doesn't side with him? There you go. There's your answer.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I always attack those who spread misinformation.
Liam is on my side, Team Alex. He says blue and I agree 100%. So thank you, Liam, for that.
I'm Team Kid Liam.
That's not the reality of the moment. So I'm sorry, Austin. Not everybody agrees with you on this.
But... what happened to you, Liam? Your eyes were so good when you were a child.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so he goes on to say, I'm so excited for y'all to start Hoenn. I was actually your second review ever. And in the review, I said, I can't wait for y'all to get to Hoenn. So here we are, Liam. I hope you enjoy. I was worried that, like a lot of other smaller podcasts, y'all might end before getting there, and that was part of the reason I mentioned how I couldn't wait for y'all to get there. Hoenn is by far my favorite region, both in the game and in the anime. Woo woo! My favorite Johto Pokemon is Meganium, and the thing I'm looking forward to the most in Hoenn is the Corphish shenanigans.
Love Corphish.
Love Corphish. We'll get there soon, I'm sure. I started listening 2.5 years ago, and every week I look forward to the new episode. Oh, well, that's so sweet. Oh my gosh. We're so glad you're here with us after all this time.
Can I just say I had a wild moment of realizing that Liam from Instagram and Zula666 from Apple Podcasts were the same person? Because you know what's truly funny?
What's truly funny?
Is Liam's right. I always thought back to that review that said, I can't wait for y'all to get to Hoenn. And I was like, we gotta do it. We gotta get to Hoenn for Zula666.
I know, Liam, like, you don't understand, like, even off pod, we've been doing this for a few years now, and every so often, Austin be like, till we get to Hoenn, like, the one review says, we gotta get to Hoenn, and here we are. It's crazy how time goes.
God, Liam knows how my brain operates, even if he doesn't know the color of the shuckle.
Just to admit that your eyes are broken, just like Jacob said.
Oh, my eyes are broken, but I can still see that shuckle.
Well, at least somebody agrees with me, and I'm so glad.
I will say, the rest of the logic is, if we get to Hoenn, then we're going to finish Hoenn. And if we finish Hoenn, we're definitely not going to stop before we do Sinnoh. So I think we're guaranteed to go through at least through Sinnoh, right? Yes. After that, it's a bit more loosey-goosey.
Well, that's so many years in advance. But Sinnoh is really... Diamond and Pearl's the best anime, by far.
Ooh, don't tell the XY people that. They don't want to hear it.
I like XY too. My personal opinion is Diamond and Pearl, and then XY is up there as well. But... I think we're guaranteed. If we can get through this, we can get there. We'll have to do... We'll have to do it.
We're not going to not do Diamond and Pearl. We're not...
Of course. Of course. We have to see Paul.
Barring real life circumstances, of course. But assuming all stays the same.
Yeah, exactly. So look forward to that. I know I'm being really premature in saying that, but look forward to it.
All right. You know what else we need to look forward to? Or unless you have any more comments?
I don't. That was it. Thank you, Liam.
All right. Great. Because we are running long. We are going to look forward to Cerulean Blues.
Pokemon Chronicles episode.
Pokemon Woo-hoo. Chronicles.
That's exciting. I like the Pokemon Chronicles episodes.
All right, Dragonite coin is back for our first episode, Cerulean Blues. Flippy flip. Heads. What does that mean? That means I'm doing the 30 seconds.
Yes.
Okay, so time me.
I will time you. I'll time you in 3, 2, 1, go.
Misty is back in Cerulean City. The sisters are not there, as we know. And Misty is all concerned because she saw a television report about how some cartoonish... like mafia bosses who are the Pokemon Intelligence Agency are gonna shut down all the Kanto gyms, and so she's like, oh no, Banky Gym's gonna close. But it's actually gonna close because there's a raging Gyarados and it's out of control, and then the Pokemon Invincible Brothers are there. It's really weird. And then Nurse Joy is a secret agent, and then Misty catches the Gyarados and all is happy and the gym doesn't close. Okay, this is more complex than I thought it was.
I know, it always traps you at the beginning. You're like, oh, I have all this time to, like, summarize, and then, whoop, 30 seconds is over.
It's almost like these episodes actually have stuff happening and, like, major plot events.
This is exciting. I'm low-key glad that I get to talk about this one in depth because I gotta rep my girl Misty. I love Misty. She's just so good. So we're checking in today. We had our Brock episode, which was also really good. I will say, out of the two of these, I liked the Brock one better.
Oh yeah,
just because, and not because I'm a big giant Brock stan, but because it just objectively was more, you had more drama going on, familial drama. So Misty's on her way back to Cerulean after being victimized by her horrendous hag sisters, which usually, I know I say this, but I feel like I have to put a disclaimer every time. Usually I'm all like, girl power, you know, we gotta be, stand together and all this. But her sisters are terrible. Somebody's gotta stand up for Misty. Misty pedals straight into some bullshit, though, because the minute she crosses over the threshold into this town, and I'm not sure if this town is actually Cerulean. I think she's in a different town.
I think it's Cerulean, because the people in the crowd said Cerulean.
Are you sure? Because I thought they said if they get to Cerulean, which I was like,
maybe I'm wrong.
They're not.
I just assumed she was there.
I don't really know.
She walked one tile over and the Game Boy Color palette became blue, so I assumed exactly. She was in Cerulean City.
The title card appeared in the air and the music changed, and we knew she was in a different town. Anyway, we learn that the ominous-sounding Pokemon Inspection Agency has closed yet another gym.
Good.
This is 4 gyms that have been closed in a span of less than a month, so they are on a tear. Closing these gyms left and right.
Was it Blaine's gym that was over an active volcano pit?
I mean,
was it Giovanni's gym where he strapped people to the floorboards and shocked them with an electric shock?
It should be.
Was it Sabrina's gym where she captured you and turned you into a doll?
And psychically tortured
you? Was it Lieutenant Surge's gym where he sent your Pokemon to the hospital?
You know it wasn't any of those. You know it was some, like, poor little unsuspecting person's, like, cutesy little grass type gym where they're like, oh, this gives people allergies, you're closed, goodbye.
Erica's gym already burned down.
Oh, so they don't have to worry about that, never mind. Okay, just a side note real quick, I didn't remember this episode like at all, so was it just me or was I thinking like the PIA was gonna be a way bigger deal than it actually was?
Well, the PIA is all throughout this episode.
Not in the way I was expecting it to be.
They tricked you.
They did trick me. Honestly, I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be some kind of like Team Rocket scam or something. Like, I was thinking it was going to be more ominous than it was, but it really turns out not to be much of anything.
I mean, that news report made them out to be something that like must not be in reality.
It's almost like that's what news does.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
I enjoyed Agent Fedora. He was fun.
Agent Fedora is here, and I thought he was going to be like the main person in this episode aside from Misty, but he doesn't show back up unless he shows back up somewhere else.
I don't know.
Probably not. Okay. Anyway, Agent Fedora is here. He's in charge of this operation, apparently, but that's all we see of him. Moving on, Misty's like, oh shit, I gotta get back to Cerulean Gym because if they find out that there's nobody there because my horrible sisters just went on vacation, they're gonna shutter us immediately, no questions asked, and I can't let that happen. Unfortunately for Misty, some old friends are back.
I hate these guys. Why are they still here? Go away.
They're worse than they ever were even in the first episode that we saw them in. If you guys remember back a few episodes to the Invincible Pokemon Brothers, which honestly, I can't remember what the fuck they were doing in that episode.
God, I want to like spray them with bug spray. Get the fuck away.
I know, they're terrible. They're worse than ever before. They're back. They're spying on Misty. I'm convinced they're stalking her because, like, how the fuck else are they here? I don't know. I really feel that Misty's unsafe and we need, like, police involvement because these guys are just really bad news bears.
Oh, what's Officer Jenny gonna do? Deputize them?
Probably. Oh, gross. Misty arrives at the gym and she's like, hello, I'm home. I don't know who she was talking to because she knows her sisters are gone. But she hears a ruckus and a commotion and she's like, oh my gosh, something's afoot. We run in with Misty to find a Gyarados rampaging throughout the gym and causing mass destruction everywhere. I guess their self-proclaimed sensational sister fan club guys. I don't know who these boys are. They're here. They're not the Invincible Brothers. They're just other dumb guys, I guess.
They're the horny men from episode 7.
The horny men that are just hanging out in the stands perpetually, watching the bikini girls.
The throngs of sweaty, gross men, yeah. As we described them once upon a time.
Go back, if you're so inclined. Go back and listen to our, like, was it like episode 7?
Our original episode 3.
Was it our original episode 3?
Yeah.
No way. That's crazy.
If I'm not mistaken.
Go back and listen to that, and we basically rip into these fan club guys. Anyway, there's also a Nurse Joy here who isn't Nurse Joy.
Spoilers!
I had some things to say about that, but then it made perfect sense at the end. So I will...
Okay.
I will save it. But Nurse Joy is here, and she tells Misty that you can't just recall a Pokemon that's on a tear back into its Pokeball. You have to figure out a different way to calm it down, which, Pokeball mechanics? Question mark?
Yeah, I would say that's Pokeball mechanics.
Have we ever had a scenario where, aside from a Pokemon just, like, leaping out of the way of, like, the beam, have we ever had a scenario where they were like, oh, you can't recall a Pokemon that's being emotional? Like, I thought that was the way you subdued a Pokemon. Recall it.
I think I can think of some examples of that happening. Off the top of my head. Not off the top of my head.
Oh, just a feeling that you have, maybe?
Just a gut feeling.
Well, that's the case for this, apparently. And I was like, interesting. Misty's like, I know what to do. I'll call out Politoed to help. Which doesn't go anywhere. I don't know why she called Politoed out.
Wasn't she battling it?
Was she going to? But then nothing happens.
Oh, okay.
Politoed comes out, clapping along to the chaos as usual. And Psyduck also comes out. And Psyduck almost drowns and gets killed.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Some kid also almost gets killed. But then they run off, and then nothing happens, because we're, like, in a different room in the next scene. Misty recounts to Nurse Joy a childhood memory. This is the reason why, for all this time, apparently, that she's hated Gyarados. This is the reason.
She could never say this before?
I guess not.
This never occurred to her until this moment? Okay.
This long-awaited reason that turns out to be a nothing. So she's like a baby, like, crawling along. She's unattended for some godforsaken reason on a beach.
Her parents are drunk somewhere.
Her parents are nowhere to be found. I have no idea.
Her parents are drunk driving off a bridge, the Nugget Bridge, as we speak.
Oh my God. They have to be because they're nowhere around. Misty is crawling along by herself where she comes across a sleeping Gyarados that's just sleeping on the beach. Because I guess Gyarados come out of the water to sleep on the beach.
I thought it was in the gym.
Were they in the gym?
I thought she was in the building, and there was a Gyarados sleeping, probably in the pool area.
All it had was, like, a brown floor. Like a sandy, muddy-looking floor. Could she have been in the gym, the building? I don't know. Maybe that would make a lot more sense. I was thinking she was just on a random beach.
She could be anywhere. She's in a white void. It's an incomplete memory because she's a baby.
Exactly. Are we then to assume that this Gyarados is the Gyarados from her childhood memory, or is it just a different...
No.
Okay.
Because she will say later that the Gyarados was a Magikarp.
Oh, right.
During that the Misty Mermaid. Presumably, it's just evolved.
Correct. You're correct. Thank you for reminding me of that. So, this is another Gyarados from her childhood. She's crawling along. You know how kids get, they get into shit. You turn your back on them for a second. In her case, though, she's just shit out of luck because her parents are totally gone. She crawls right into the sleeping Gyarados's mouth.
Poor Gyarados.
I know. I felt bad for the animal in this case. Gyarados is shocked, wakes up. Could you imagine, like, you're sleeping and then some giant thing crawls into your mouth? Imagine the feeling if, like, a giant bug crawled in your mouth. Like, that would be terrible.
It was probably, like, you and a whale shark. If you went into a whale shark's mouth... It'd be like, what the hell? And it would spit you right out.
Oh my God, Austin, you saying that just reminded me. I saw a headline on the news the other day.
I saw the same one.
About a man who got swallowed by a humpback whale. It was not a whale shark.
A whale shark. It was an actual whale.
It was an actual whale. However, it was the same premise of getting swallowed by a giant creature. And I had a mini panic attack. Don't ever say to me that whales don't swallow people and that's
whale
impossible.
Whale sharks.
Don't ever say to me...
A whale shark is not a whale.
I don't care. It's the same thing. People can get swallowed by whales and end up in the hospital. Oh my fucking God.
Oh my God, there's a video of him being swallowed by the whale.
Do not show me that. I do not. I refuse.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
I don't want to see it. It's my nightmare come to life.
Okay, I'm watching it.
Just like the sinkhole opening up under me.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so scary.
How is he? Is he filming himself? I don't understand.
No, someone else is filming him. He's in a kayak or something.
And it just comes up.
It literally comes from nowhere and grabs him.
That's insane.
He was only in its mouth for like a split second.
I've never heard of whale behavior like that. They have baleen. They eat krill. Why would it go after a man?
I think it was breaching. And in that moment, it didn't realize he was going to be there.
Watch where you're going, whale.
Yeah, fucking whale.
You have a whole ocean, whale. You have an entire ocean and you have to go and swallow this one guy. Wow.
You have an entire world, baby Misty. You have to go crawl into the Gyarados mouth.
I know, exactly. Also rude. I'm not on Misty's side for this. I think she was wrong, but however, she's a baby, so gotta give her some grace, I guess. So this is why she's traumatized, you guys, is because she crawled into a sleeping Gyarados's mouth. It did the only thing it could possibly do, which was spit her out. It wasn't even aggressive at the end.
She was fine. Not a she bruise on her.
No, it just sort of was like, ew, I have a hair in my mouth. Bleh. And it didn't attack. It wasn't angry. It didn't make a noise. It wasn't like vicious or anything. It's kind of like the Nurse Joy that was afraid of water Pokemon.
If anything, this should have come out then.
And the reasoning for that was because a Remoraid
boosted her up and
back boosted her up and put her back into a boat. And then she was terrified of them.
How dare these children have traumatic memories?
That's the reason. Great, wonderful. Glad you shared that trauma with us, Misty.
Finally.
Finally. The next step is to try to figure out a way to calm it down. So Misty's idea for this particular moment is she's going to break out her Misty Mermaid costume and try to soothe the Gyarados by doing her water ballet routine that she used to do with it when it was a Magikarp.
The one time. And Team Rocket attacked.
Exactly. I don't know. It's a pretty good idea. You know, maybe kind of appeal to its more docile nature that it had as a Magikarp and be like, hey, don't you remember me when we did this one thing?
Look at my wig. Look at my hair extensions.
I know. She has her little pearl jewels in her hair and her Misty Mermaid outfit on. And she jumps into the water and somehow is able to have a full-blown conversation underwater. Clear as a bell.
What the hell was this?
I have no idea. I thought maybe you might have some insight into this, but...
Did they forget to animate her using the breathing, talking, magical device?
The rebreather thing that they use in, like, Star Wars? No, I don't know. She's just talking. Unfortunately, though, Misty gets caught in a whirlpool that Gyarados has created, and she starts to fucking drown and hallucinates that Ash and Brock are like, Misty, you got this. You don't need our help anymore. And she's, like, trying to reach out to them, but they keep getting farther and farther away, and Gyarados has her wrapped up and unable to move in her hallucination, and fortunately, she does not die. She gets rescued by Horsey, I believe it is, and she wakes up with Joy standing over her, like, here's some tea.
We gotta acknowledge Horsey and Starmie here.
Oh, yeah, we did not mention that. Sorry, I neglected to say she sees her old pal Starmie and Horsey.
Hooray!
Hooray! They are still around, so that's really great.
Starmie does nothing as usual. Keeping it up, Starmie.
Literally, it doesn't even come back, I think, after that first initial meeting. Like, at least Horsey saves her life, but Starmie is nowhere to be found.
God, Starmie's a real one.
Letting Misty drown? Oh my gosh.
No, just doesn't want to get involved.
Yeah, bystander effect. It does not want to get involved. Thank you, Horsey, for saving Misty's life. Back at it, though, we don't have time to have this drowning pity party. Nurse Joy's like, get the fuck up. You have to try again. So she goes back in the room with Gyarados and tries to recall it. However, another Pokeball mechanic moment, it resists the beam. So she's like, I'm sorry to have to do this to you, but you're going to have to go in the cage of shame because you will not go back in your ball, so you have to go in a cage. Unfortunately, the invincible Pokemon fuckers are here. They start calling her out in the middle of nowhere, challenging her for ownership of the gym. And apparently all it takes is 5 seconds for the entire fucking town to come and say, yeah, it's time for a battle. Woohoo. We're going to watch this like showdown for the gym.
The Sensational Sisters' absence was felt and they were like, we need to rally around something.
Were they all just like rubbernecking outside of the gym? Like, how were they all there so fast? So everyone, including Nurse Joy, is apparently okay with this because they're like, oh, so you just got an open challenge for a gym from just some stupid kids? Okay, I guess that's legal and totally allowable. Guess you'll have to battle for it, Misty. And Misty's like, what the fuck? Is there not a process for this? Like, I feel like there should be paperwork.
I think a certain Joy is maybe using this as a test to see what happens. I think perhaps. She might be entertaining the scenario as a hidden test of character.
So apparently Joy is like, yeah, sure, this is a good idea. This sounds great. We get a battle. Did she explain it? I thought she said they had to win 2 one-on-one matches.
Right.
So to start, it's Misty versus Kim, I think it's. Is it Kim or Ken?
I'm pretty sure their names changed since the last time we saw them.
Did I write it down the last time?
I don't care enough to give them names. They don't deserve names.
Oh, Kim, Kale, and Kai.
Sure.
So I guess it is Kim. Maybe it was right. I don't know. So this MF-er calls out a Hitmonchan, and Misty uses Staryu, so we get to see Hiya. Love that. Hitmonchan pretends to drown because it's just swimming there in the water. And Misty's like, oh no, go help it, Staryu. We can't just let our opponents drown, because she's trying to do things fair, fair and square. But this horrible kid is like, okay, Hitmonchan, sucker punch the shit out of Staryu. And it one hit KOs it. Fortunately, Joy declares that move illegal, so Misty wins by default.
I was so relieved when she did that.
I know, me too. I thought she was going to keep playing into this bullshit. I was infuriated on Misty's behalf. I'm like, this is so unfair. Staryu wins. Hooray. Congratulations.
Good job, Staryu. You got knocked out.
It did absolutely nothing and won anyway. Next is Corsola versus Tentacruel. Unfortunately for Corsola, it gets its horns handed to it with a singular bubble beam. Not a good showing for Corsola. But it recovers. However, the two other brothers jump in with their Tentacruel. So now it's a 3-on-1. Illegal 3-on-1. They're just like being completely out of bounds with their behavior. They decide to attack Gyarados as blackmail. They're like, call the match for us, Joy, or we'll kill Gyarados. Misty throws herself in front of Gyarados as a human shield to take the full brunt of the poison sting attack that they are currently levying towards Gyarados.
She learned her lesson from Ash. If you want a Pokemon to like you, throw your physical body in the way of danger, and it'll work every time without fail.
Exactly. This was such an Ash thing. I guess she really took a page out of his book with that. Apparently, the crowd is also suffering with the same bystander effect as Starmie is, because they're just sitting there doing nothing as Misty drowns to death.
It's a whole crowd of Starmies in human suits.
It really is. They all just stand there watching her get attacked. Nobody's saying anything to these guys.
It's a lot like the state of the United States right now, isn't it?
I know. Everybody's just sitting by. Everyone's waiting, just sitting for there somebody watching. Else to do something. Exactly. But fortunately, Gyarados is so moved by this display that it breaks free of its cage and obliterates the shit out of these stupid boys. So, thank God. They are gone. Get out of here. Never to be seen again. Do we ever see them again?
I'm pretty sure we don't.
Fuck.
I think yes. They died from this attack.
Good. They deserve it.
They are out of there. They got blasted into the atmosphere and Rayquaza obliterated them.
Perfect. A fitting end for some terrible people. Finally, everything makes sense because Joy reveals herself to have been a Pokemon inspection agent all along.
Hooray!
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is where I finally clicked for me. I was like, oh.
Okay, what were your problems with this before this reveal?
Okay, one was her voice was different.
Well, I think that's because this was dubbed later.
I know, but I guess if you want to like put some lore behind it, you're like, well, Nurse Joy.
I think it's just because Megan Holland's head is no longer with the dub at this point, is the reality of it. But I could be wrong.
And I completely understand. I'm like, okay, in reality, there's probably scheduling conflicts or some kind of contractual, you know, something has ended, whatever. She's not doing the voice anymore. I like to imagine that it's because she's not really a Nurse Joy. She's an Agent Joy. Ah!
Just some four kids dimensional chess.
Okay, so everything makes perfect sense. And this is the reason, like you were saying before, why she was allowing this ridiculous test as like a scenario in which like Misty could prove herself as a gym leader unbeknownst to Misty. But this is apparently all by design.
It was when you don't think you're being observed, how do you behave?
Exactly.
Secret Chopper setup.
What is that show where they watch people?
Undercover Boss.
No, not Undercover Boss. The What Would You Do?
Oh, What Would You... I love What Would You Do.
What would you... It's literally these scenarios where it's like a bad situation happens and what would you do?
Can you imagine if the Invincible Pokemon Brothers came back and they were like, guess what? And they pulled out badges and they were PIA agents?
PIA agents.
This was all a scam. There were cameras everywhere.
They're too shitty for that, but it would be funny. Anyway, Misty is now a bona fide gym leader. She has passed the test and gets to not go to jail or something. I'm not really sure. She tells Misty in a complete, like, non sequitur, I don't know. She's like, oh, and by the way, I'm headed to Hoenn. We're like, oh, all right. I guess she has PIA business in Hoenn.
Gotta go investigate Norman.
He deserves it. What the fuck is Norman doing anyway? Do we ever see this Agent Joy in Hoenn?
Okay, here's the thing. No.
Oh, shit.
But do you remember the episode where it was the Scyther versus the Electabuzz, and they were the Yaz and Kaz gyms, and Pikachu was obsessed with the ketchup, and the ketchup got in the Pokemon's eyes, and it went into a blind rage, because there was a Pokemon gym gang war happening.
Oh my god, what a throwback.
And the end of the episode revealed that the mysterious trench-coated figure was Nurse Joy, and she was there as a gym inspector.
I do remember that.
Do you think that's the same Joy as in this episode?
I want to believe that to be the case.
Because she had a cool custom Pokeball that I liked.
Pokemon is not a show that's known for its continuity, really, but I want to believe that that is our one thread of...
That's too interesting of a coincidence.
Yeah. I'm really kind of bummed out, though, that we don't see her again.
Well...
Wow.
What if I told you we do see a PIA investigating Nurse Joy again?
But not in Hoenn.
In Kanto.
Is this Journeys?
This is Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And she owns a Latias.
This is interesting. I don't remember that at all, but I'll believe you.
It's because that episode wasn't dubbed into English.
Well, that's probably why I don't remember that.
We already watched it, but we're going to watch it again in 7 years, so get ready.
You know, you say this, but I've only probably seen it that one time, and it was over, like, 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, I don't remember that episode very well either.
Anyway, so it's kind of a bummer, though. We don't see her headed to Hoenn, like she says. And Misty, I feel bad because Misty goes on to ask her. She's like, hey, can you also let my friend Ash know? And I don't know how she would know who Ash is unless Misty provided, like, a photograph or something.
If there's, like, a major cataclysmic event happening, Ash will be there.
Misty should have said
that. So just go to where that is.
Yeah, just find the danger or the drama, and that's where Ash will be, right in the middle of it. But she's like, yeah, can you go just intuitively know my friend Ash, like, you know what he looks like and stuff, and, like, let him know that I finally made it as a gym leader? Sure, I guess. I'm not really 100% certain why Misty can't, like, send an email to Ash or, like...
Ash doesn't check his email.
Pidgey mail that shit. I don't know.
Ash does not remember who Misty is by this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's been 4 episodes. Yeah.
She's not in his field of vision, so he does not remember her.
And he'll remember when she shows up, but in the meantime, who? Misty? What?
Aw. I don't know. I thought it, honestly, all joking aside, I thought it was sweet that, you know, Misty really is still thinking about her friends and that she really misses them. And she's like, I want them to know that I'm doing okay. And, like...
Yeah. They're not thinking about her, though.
I have to believe that they are. I mean, it's just too sad otherwise. Misty's she's a real sentimental person. I'm sentimental, so I kind of vibe with that. So that's it. She's made it, guys. She's finally achieved her dream. She's a gym leader, and we are proud of her. So good job, girl.
Yay, Misty.
Yay. That's it.
All right. MVP, LVP in quotes.
All righty.
I'm going to flip the Dragonite coin.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep my energy up because... I'm feeling it.
Doesn't matter. You got to keep it up. I'm going first.
All right. Woohoo.
My MVP is going to be Agent Joy.
Ooh.
Specifically because you didn't mention it, but when the brothers start attacking the Gyarados with their 3 Tentacruel, she says, that's it. You're banned from ever participating in any official Pokemon battling or leagues ever again for the rest of all time.
Oh, right. I completely forgot. I have a bullet point here. I glossed over that. Oh, my goodness.
Should I count it as Nurse Joy or Agent Joy?
She's an Agent Joy.
Okay, so she doesn't count to the Nurse Joy MVP total.
Okay, I have a question just real quick since you mentioned it, and I forgot to mention it. I'm so sorry. Does she have any, like, enforcing power? Like, how are you enforcing this lifetime ban?
I think she's going to go home and write a report.
Are they, like, in the system? Like, is it a computerized system? Like, if they go to, like... compete in a league or a battle, like...
Yeah, a Rotom drone shows up and it, like, zaps them with a taser. Agent Fedora appears and he kung fus you in the face.
That's kind of interesting, though. Well, honestly, you know what? It doesn't really matter since they have died. So it don't, no, they can't true. Really...
That was their punishment. My LVP is the Invincible Pokemon Brothers for their heinous actions and for being banned and for dying.
I'm glad they are dead. I'm not...
And never appearing again. Go away. They are not fun.
They were horrible. They were absolutely horrible to her. They were hateful assholes that had no reason to be as terrible to her as they were.
All right. My quote is going to be one of the Sensational Sisters fan club members.
Oh, no. Is it the quote? Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I'll let you have that one then.
No. Oh, no.
Okay. Then I'm going to do Agent Fedora's quote. Him saying... We're nailing the shutters on any operation that's substandard, subpar, and sub-anything. So if your gym's unsafe, unclean, or even uncool, you can expect to hear from us.
I'm sorry, Austin. I didn't mean to ruin the game.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I literally had that quote that you just said, and then this one other one is like all the quotes I had written down.
Because these were the two good quotes of this episode.
Sometimes there's just a couple standouts, and there's really no other option. Thank you. I appreciate the cheating for letting me have that.
You seem passionate about it, so I let you have it.
Okay, my MVP is going to be Misty. I really don't think there's anything really much to say. I like how Misty has overcome her fear of Gyarados. She stands up for what she believes in. She's really trying to, you know, step up and fill the absence that her sisters have left her in the form of being a gym leader. And I just think she's just... The ending part was sweet, where she's like, I hope that Brock and Ash are doing well, and I hope that they are thinking about me and all the fun times we had together, and it's just overall a sweet end to her story. So
Misty's true journey begins here.
Yeah.
Following Ash was not doing her any favors. This is what she really needed.
But, I mean, she did learn a little bit, because like we mentioned, you know, she did the full-on, like, physical sacrifice thing.
That's true. Lesson learned.
She got that from Ash anyway. But yeah, good for her. I'm really glad that she's kind of spread her own wings, got out from under Ash's shadow, and has come into her own as a gym leader. So
now for Brock to do the same.
He'll learn in time.
Okay.
He got pulled back into it, but...
He was home for 24 hours, and he was like, never mind.
To be fair, his home situation is traumatic and toxic, so I don't blame him for choosing the lesser of two evils. But I'm glad to have Brock back, which we will talk about soon. My LVP is, I guess, Starmie.
Oh!
I don't know.
Yay!
There really wasn't any other characters here. I mean, I guess I could give it to the fan club, but I'll leave it.
Starmie's funnier.
Sure, I'll leave it with Starmie.
If you remember correctly, I think Starmie was my LVP overall for Kanto.
Overall?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to go back and see, but... It doesn't do anything. It literally is there for 1 second and then fucks off, never to be seen again for the rest of this episode. Even as Misty is drowning to death. Starmie, what do you even do?
It's eating Goldeen in the corner.
I guess. Oh my god. Wait, we didn't see Goldeen, did we?
Nope.
We did not. Maybe Goldeen is gone. Gone away. So there you go. My quote is going to be the one Austin has so graciously allowed me to take. And it's when... Sorry, I was... I was actually reconsidering my Starmie LVP because I might want to give it to Politoed.
Oh, shit.
Can I? I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm so torn. Can I give it to Politoed, too?
I guess. Yeah. We're not going to see these Pokemon hardly ever again.
Okay, so fine. Well. Fuck it. Fuck it. Politoed, because what the fuck was that? It just came out and did nothing. So fucking LVP to you, too. All right. Sorry. So this is the part where Misty does call out Politoed to help for some undisclosed reason. But the kids also are there, the fan club. They almost get eaten by Gyarados also. And he's like, he jumps out of the water. He's like, later, guys. Love to stay and help. But right now, I got to go shove my heart back down my throat.
So that was really good.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
That is Cerulean Blues.
So next, we have an episode that has a strange title. Because last week, I called it You Can Never Talo. And all official sources that I could find say it's called You Can Never Talo, including Pokemon.com and the DVD I own. However, Veronica Taylor slash Ash. Veronica Taylor slash Ash says you never can Talo.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh my god, I completely missed that.
Maybe they changed it at some point? I don't know.
You never can Talo?
Right, the DVD I had, the DVD menu said you can never Talo. The episode video itself said you never can Talo.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's you never can tell.
Right.
I actually like that better then. The mistake. Well,
which sounds better? You can never tell or you never can tell?
I say you never can tell.
I say you can never tell.
I like you never can Talo, but apparently... We are wrong.
Controversial.
Controversial.
Time to summarize. You ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, we're in Petalburg Forest, and we can't find any Pokemon. That's really weird. May and Max are fighting over Ash, and they're like, I want to take a lunch break. No, I want to find Pokemon. So Ash finally says, okay, let's just stop and have lunch. But none of them can cook, and they're unprepared because they don't have Brock that they can just foist on all their responsibilities. A Talo flock appears, and they chase Ash and friends around. Talo, 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 Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu. Brock is back. Oh, my God.
Time.
Ash. Oh, man. I fell into the same trap.
Yeah, we didn't do very good this time.
Over-explaining the first half. Shit. Mm. Sorry. All right,
so now I'm going to over-explain the first half again. Just briefly, they're in the Petalburg Woods, or as the narrator calls it, the Petalburg Forest.
Is it the woods? I said the forest. Oh, no.
I think it's the woods.
Petalburg Woods is very, like, Mario.
It is. Like, wispy. No, that's Kirby.
The Boggly Woods. Sorry.
They're in some sort of tree area, and Max is looking around, and he's like, where are the Pokemon? I want to see the Pokemon. And Ash is like, it doesn't work like that. What happens is you go to a town that's specifically devoted to a singular Pokemon, and then you have a festival that happens one day a year, and you are just so happen to be there on the one day of a year. That's the festival. And Max is like, oh, okay. So they go to Talo Town, and it's a Talo Festival.
Could you imagine if we went to the fucking Talo Town and had the Talo Festival?
Think I would fuck we did not.
Crack up. That would be great.
There's a very interesting dynamic between these three twerps, because May and Max are siblings, so they're squabbling, and May's like, I want to eat, and Max is like, no, we gotta find the Pokemon, and they both turn to Ash.
I love this so
who is
much.
The leader of the group, because he's the oldest, and he knows what he's doing, so they're like, Ash, listen to what I want to do, no, listen to what I want, and it's so fun to see Ash in this scenario, and it kind of made me want Brock not to join the group.
I hate that you say this, because I love Brock, and I spoiler alert, I'm glad to get Brock back. Anyway, I do love this momentary dynamic that we have, where it's very much Ash being the mentorly figure.
He's babysitter for the first time.
Yeah, and ever. He's And I like the fact that May and Max are inexperienced novices. I mean, obviously, Max isn't even a trainer. He's just a little kid. And they turn to Ash as the person that's supposed to know these things. Like, he's the adult, quote unquote, in the situation. And they want his attention.
Because he's the cool guy that's come into their lives.
I love this. It's just great.
He's like the big brother of the group.
I know. It's a cute dynamic. Yeah. It's cute. It's a cute dynamic. But we quickly realize some things about this. But
yeah. So Ash is like, okay, you know what? We're going to stop for a quick lunch, and then we're going to keep on looking. So that seems to satisfy all parties until they sit down. Then they sit there. And they sit there. And they sit there. And they sit there. And no food is appearing.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. The fact that Ash is just expecting shit to magically manifest in front of him.
Why wouldn't he? It always has before.
You know what? Honestly, taking a step back and looking at this for what it is, you're like, he really has been taking Brock's. The fact that he always cooks, the fact that he's always there to clean up or pick up the slack in all these different areas, like, it really highlights the fact that Ash was just expecting it. And it's not just a happening, and so they have to be self-sufficient for once.
The only time this has not happened to him before, where just magic stew appears, is when they were Tracy, and Tracy put random citrus fruits on bread, and was like, here you go, and Ash and Misty were like, what the hell is this?
Because none of them knew how to cook either.
They were lucky those islands were not very far apart, weren't they? So they could go and drink their bottomless mimosas.
I know.
So no one has any food. Oh my God, they're gonna starve. And then Max whoops out some chocolate cookies that he has. It's his emergency stash. And thank God he did. Because everyone's like, I want a piece, I want a piece, I want a piece. Pikachu also doesn't have any Pokemon food, so he's also on death's door.
Pikachu's reaction to this was A+.
How he did not give a shit that the humans had no food because he had his food. And then he realized the jar was empty. And he's like, oh no!
He only cares when his personal situation is affected.
Well, he is an animal.
he is an animal, but he could not give less of a shit. He's like, well, sucks to be you. And he like pops the lid off of his Pikachu food only to realize that there's nothing there.
Well, the Taylor Festival is starting because Max holds out his little chocolate graham cracker or whatever it is. And a Taylor swoops in, grabs it, and flies away. And the twerps are like, get that bird! So they run after the bird and so they can wrestle the little piece of thing out of its dirty talons. Ugh. And it lands on the branch and starts chewing down. And May's like, give me that goddamn thing! Unfortunately, it eats it. And I'm like, well, May, what did you want it to do? What did you... You wanted to drop it on your head so you could eat it?
I mean, I guess chocolate is not toxic to animals in the Pokemon world, because...
Apparently not.
Taylor just slurps that shit up.
And it gets a distinctive marker that is chocolate smeared all over its beak so we can know which one it is. Because all of a sudden, it turns out they are surrounded on all sides by a Taylor flock. And the Taylor were like, you were going to eat our apples. Which they were.
You know what's funny is the fact that they did not realize that they were standing in the middle of an apple grove until several minutes later.
I'd rather have chocolate than apples, too, to be fair.
Not after it's been in some grubby little bird talon.
Not the second-hand chocolate from the bird. No.
I'm kind of surprised it was apples and not oranberries.
Well, oranberries are new to this generation. We haven't seen one yet.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure we will soon.
I can't wait to see an oranberry.
Oh my god, the first time we see an oranberry is going to be like a goddamn holiday.
Let's remember
it's gonna
to point
out. It's going to be a momentous event, yes.
We'll have to mark it for sure.
Don't give me them Petcha berries or anything like that. I want an oranberry.
Nanab berry.
Fuck the Nanab berries. They don't do anything in Pokemon Go. Alright, so meanwhile, we're all getting our eyes pecked out by birds. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie up in here.
Terrifying.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not seen The Birds.
Okay. Have you seen Birdemic?
No.
Okay, that's a must watch that we are going to watch very soon.
Good God. Okay, fine.
Obviously, the correct thing to do is to have Pikachu zap the Talos and they all fall out of the sky. Problem solved. But wait, these are not regular flying type Pokemon. These Talos will get zapped and they're still going to get up and they're going to keep on fighting. And this happens multiple times.
Ooh.
This is terrifying. Our long journey has come to an end. Death by birds. Until a mysterious figure appears from the shadows with an exploding bagworm known as Fortress because Brock.
Woohoo! Brock is back, baby. Oh my gosh.
And he is not shy about making Fortress explode and causing a crater to appear.
Not at all. Oh my gosh, can I just say that Brock... I'm so glad Brock is back. Did you also think that his voice was deeper than before?
I did think that.
I think he sounds different.
I thought Ash was getting deeper because May was here, but I guess Brock also is going down a few decibels.
I'm imagining it's because they're older slightly, you know.
They're so. One day older than they were at the end of Johto.
Well, I mean the voice actors.
Oh, well, that too.
The voice actors being a little bit older than they obviously were a few years back. And, you know, maybe I can't know for sure. Maybe you would know better with, like, scheduling and stuff. I mean, who knows, like, how long in between, like, recording sessions? Like, I imagine if you're a voice actor, you do a role, you're in that role, you're used to that role. Then you're like, okay, this project's over for the foreseeable future, like, at least for now. You're doing other voices, other roles, and then you come back and you have to redo it. Like, maybe that's part of it.
Maybe Eric Stewart started doing Kaiba at this point, and that's affecting his Brock. Just to speculate, I don't know.
Maybe, could be. I thought he sounded different.
Well, is James getting higher pitched as Brock is getting lower pitched?
No, James sounded different, too.
Okay, interesting.
James also sounded lower pitched.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, because this is part of season 6. You'd think it'd be no interruption in this production.
I don't know. I'm just saying, it sounded different to me.
Interesting. Anyway, I think also Ash and Brock now look a lot more mature than they did a few weeks ago.
Compared to...
We have not talked about their new designs at all.
Oh, yeah.
Hardly.
Well, we did talk about Ash's new outfit when Delia got it for him.
Right.
Which...
I think these are their best looks.
Ever? Or just up until this point?
Both. I'm struggling to think. Maybe Ash's XY outfit is better than this one.
I'd really have to see a side-by-side of
all right, let's outfits. See all the Ash outfits.
Are you seriously Googling it?
Yeah. But of Brock's three outfits, this is my favorite by far.
That's so sad that you say Brock's three outfits. Oh.
Because Ash gets like 12.
Yeah, this is definitely Brock's... best outfit.
This is what I think of when I think of Brock.
I think maybe also the fact that this is the darkest color palette. Like, I feel like darker colors just means more, like, mature, more mm-hmm. subdued.
They're a little less cartoony.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, Brock's original outfit had him in a green vest with orange, like, an orange t-shirt.
Now he's wearing a green t-shirt, which looks a lot better.
Yeah, it's just the orange jacket highlights, like, on the collar and stuff, which is a lot better.
His pants, too. His pants are a lot more of a subdued color versus, like, that burgundy color.
Yeah, they're an olive green instead of a burgundy. Okay, here's all of Ash's outfits.
Here's my justification for Ash, and this being one of his best outfits, is besides this outfit in Journeys, all of his other mainstream outfits are based on the player PCs of their corresponding video game generation. Gotcha. This and Journeys are the only two that were specifically made for Ash. Now, obviously, the first outfit he wore, he's red, so that is his outfit. Mm-hmm. But, like, in Sinnoh, he's going to be wearing Lucas's outfit. And in Unova, he's going to be wearing Hilbert's outfit. Or, like, an altered version of it. I like right. how in Hoenn, this is simply Ash's attire. And also, the vest hoodie thing going on is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a good explanation of it. Honestly, looking at this picture and, like, knowing that his outfits emulate the player character, I mean, obviously, his Journey's outfit's good, but, like, honestly, I think his X and Y outfit is one of my favorites.
Because it looks fucking good.
It does look good.
It looks really good.
All right.
Anyway. Yeah,
analyze that. Okay, all perfect.
Right, outfit's done. Brock is here, and all the twerps go to Brock's campsite. And I thought this was really awkward, the introductions of Ash being like, this is May and Max. They're my new little pals. May and Max, this is Brock. He's my mom. Because I don't care about my real mom. But this is where the food comes from. Look at him. Brock.
I know. Well, I mean, I kind of was thinking about it. I mean, how do you introduce two friend groups that you know separately to each other?
This is my best friend, my best male friend. And these are some kids I just met. Hello.
Yeah, like, how are you supposed to introduce that? I think it's awkward no matter what you do.
It felt palpable to me. It was like, oh, this is kind of a weird... Not to mention he's substantially older than them.
Brock. Oh, yeah. Especially considering that the dynamic... Like, before, it was like, okay, Brock was always a little bit older than Ash and Misty, but not by much more. But with Max there, I think it's more obvious because he's so much younger. Like, even than May. May's not that much younger than Ash.
Well, allegedly, they're the same age, but... Let's just pretend.
I mean, you could argue both ways. Like, one, Ash being older because he's been traveling for years at this point, so clearly he's supposed to be way older than 10, but also the fact that May is drawn not the way she's supposed to be drawn, but...
Are we going to talk about May's boobs in every episode?
Let's try not to.
Okay.
Sorry, it just happened to come up. But yeah, so Brock is here. Hooray!
Team Rocket has stolen Brock's onigiri, aka sandwiches, from his campsite. The twerps assume the Talo have stolen it, but actually, Team Rocket has stolen it, given it to the Talo, and made the Talo their loyal followers.
Loyal just as long as they have sandwiches.
Correct. Sandwiches, quote unquote.
Whatever.
Meanwhile, the leader Talo is confronting Pikachu because its honor as a Talo is on the line, or whatever, because Talo's personality... It's a rambunctious, stubborn, cocky little asshole, basically.
I'm surprised you did not mention, I know this is completely unrelated, but sort of related. You didn't mention Brock and his super potion.
Brock's face Pikachu with a super potion. Later, Pikachu and Talo battle, and it goes on for quite some time, actually. And it gets kind of cool, because Talo is still being thundershocked, and Ash is like, why is that not doing anything? And Brock points out, no, it is doing something. That Talo is on its last legs, but it's really, really determined, and it's not going to let you know that it's, like, barely hanging in there.
This is so anime to me, honestly. Like, you know
yeah, how... Yeah, of course. Overcome your physical limitations through your willpower.
Go beyond or whatever the fuck. Like,
beyond the limit.
Beyond the limit. I know. It was very, like, the protagonist fighting on beyond what they can possibly do and then end up, like, passing out on their feet or some shit because they literally cannot go on.
And then delivering a speech about how friendship is keeping them alive and you'll never know friendship.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're hanging on through sheer willpower and, like, the desire to protect their friends and, like, it was so anime. Like, I'm
Brock is like, okay, we gotta stop this because this is getting, like, dangerous at this point. So Ash is like, you're right, Brock. I'm going to catch this thing. So he catches it.
Actually, I'm going to call out Ash for 1 second. Ash was going to keep going. It wasn't until Brock was like, Ash, this is bad. You're going to end up killing this thing, basically, if you don't stop. I think you need to catch it. He was the one that suggested it. Ash was going to just keep fucking going, which I was kind of a little disappointed in Ash, because I was like, don't you know when to quit?
Clearly, Ash is not prepared to live life without Brock. He's not there yet.
Apparently, God.
He's just not there yet.
Brock is his crutch.
We need Brock to stay in the picture for now. This is the episode making the argument for that.
Absolutely.
So Talo has been caught, and the Pokeball has done its magical we're friends now brainwashing thing it does.
Yeah.
So Ash is like, hi, Talo. Here, let me clean you up. And so he takes Misty's handkerchief and cleans off its beak.
That was cute.
Brock comes over with a super potion and sprays Talo in the face.
Did you? Okay, guys, I know this is one of those scenes again where we're like encouraging you to actually watch it because it doesn't really translate very well when you're just trying to explain the scene. But I cracked up during this part. One, because we already had the super potion in Pikachu's face after Pikachu had kind of gotten beat up. And then we get this second instance of the super potion. And I love how Brock just wordlessly walks up to Talo. He doesn't even say anything. He just sprays it right in the face. And then Talo, there's like a few beats where it's like, and then it starts screaming its head off.
Never forget when he did that to the baby Kangaskhan.
I know. That's what the vibe I was getting. I was like, this is so much nostalgia for the Kangaskhan screaming its head off as he sprays it in the face.
God, this is how you know Brock's going to be a doctor, is because he has terrible dead inside manner.
I know. He's just like, here you go. Right in the face. All right, bye.
He needs to work on that.
It was hilarious.
Talo has joined the party. I basically have like 3 bullet points left at this point. Team Rocket appear with their Talo flock. Mei sends out her Torchic, and it once again runs into a rock. So Brock whispers to Ash, what's up with this girl? And Ash is like, she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
It is funny because Mei really doesn't know what she's doing, but also I love the camaraderie between the old friends. Like, what the fuck? Oh, they're yeah. Like,
who are these kids? What's going on?
I know. Oh, that's.
We're going to explore the dynamics of this 4-person group more in the future.
Yeah.
But I like how any way you slice the 4 characters into 2 pairs, they always have an individual relationship among them. And clearly there's a divide of Ash and Brock, old Kanto friends, mm-hmm. and Mei and Max.
Sure.
So we're seeing that immediately.
I like it. It's different.
Suddenly, an alarm goes off because Brock's 2 is ready. Oh my God. And all the Talo are like, hooray, soup's on. The twerps and the Talo flock all happily eat Brock's stew that apparently he made a bunch of soup for all these Talo. Team Rocket's like, okay, I think the episode's over now. Let's just walk away. And Ash goes, I didn't forget about you, Team Rocket. You deserve to suffer physical pain. Pikachu thunderbolt them. So they get blasted off.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Ash.
The Talos have basically eaten all the food in the area, including this soup. And they have to move on to go devastate another area.
Oh my God, you know what this is giving?
What?
This is giving Land Before Time.
I was going to say the nematodes from SpongeBob.
Oh. Well, I was thinking the Land Before Time when the Plague of Locusts come.
I don't even remember that happening.
I'm trying to remember the actual name of the movie because...
That wasn't the first one.
No. Because
the first one, there was like seismic activity.
The first one is the sad one where his mom dies and he has to find the Great Valley.
Do the locusts destroy the Great Valley?
No, it's the swarming... Okay, they call them the Swarming Leaf Gobblers. And it's from the Land Before Time 5, The Mysterious Island, which is one of the best ones. That's where they go back to the island where they meet Chomper again.
Is that the second time they meet Chomper?
Yes.
Okay, I don't remember my Land Before Time chronology very well.
Maybe we should do a watch of all the Land Before Time movies and do a bonus episode.
I think you and Josh would really enjoy that. Meanwhile, in Hoenn...
Anyway...
Brock and Talo have joined the group. They join the party. Da-da-da-da-da-da! The episode's over now. The end.
Brock is back. Woohoo!
There you go. All right, MVP, LVP, and quote. Let's flip a coin. Woo! Tails, I'm first again.
Wait, Tails is for me.
Sorry, heads, I'm first again.
Oh,
it landed on the heads, I swear.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Cheat that way, SpongeBob.
My MVP is going to be Brock. Because I want to make Alex mad at me.
That's all right. It's how the game goes. I'm not mad.
And because Ash clearly needs him. Otherwise, he would be dead. So thank God Brock appeared when he did.
Thank God.
Also, MVP for Brock, because I found it funny that he did not tell Ash about his family trauma because he knows Ash does not care.
Wow. All right.
Am I wrong?
He mentioned something in passing. Yeah, he's like, I'm back from Pewter City or whatever. And
he's like, everything's resolved. Okay.
I love how Ash isn't like, hey, how'd that go? Like, are you good? I have to assume, in my heart, I want to assume that later off screen, like at night, sitting by the fire or whatever, he's like, Brock, tell me about your shit that's going on. Because I want to pretend that Ash cares about something more than himself. But
we're missing the scene where Brock says, yeah, my mom was there and she really was. And then Ash says, your mom? Your dead mom?
Oh my gosh. That's right. Because the last time Ash heard anything about Lola was she was dead.
Thankfully, Ash has forgotten Brock had a dead mother. And so has four kids.
Jeez. Okay, maybe I'm going to write a fan fiction about Ash and Brock's conversation post Pewter City.
Maybe.
Maybe.
My LVP is going to be the forest that the Talo have devastated by eating all the food.
Oh, dang. That was going to be mine. I can't believe you went that far in the weeds.
Damn, I'm sweeping you. All right, what quote are you going to use? Because I'll take that one, too.
Two souls, two bodies.
I'm going to do the quote where Talo is freshly caught and May is hiding behind Brock. So Brock says, there's no reason to hide, you know. And May says, I'm not hiding. I'm just introducing myself gradually.
I like that. This just forces me to be creative.
I mean, there's an obvious MVP.
Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to give it to him. But...
Well, I'm thinking, hold on. Do I want to give it to Taylor? Okay, you know what? Fine. I will give Taylor my MVP because it's cool. And I think this is also setting the stage for some interesting things we get for Talo later. Stay tuned.
infamous moment.
Infamous fucking moment that lives rent-free in my head. Randomly, I will think about this, and I do not know why. Completely out of context. I'll just be like, that one time. So stay tuned for that.
I hope we see more of Talo resisting electric shocks before that happens.
I do too.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that.
God, we sound so cagey right now. But if you know, right? All right. Anyway, Talo, because it's cool and I can already see it being a badass on Ash's team, I like that it matches Ash's aesthetic color palette.
And, oh, yeah.
Like, it sits on his shoulder and it's such an Ash Pokemon. I love it. I think it's cute. Consequently, I'm also going to give my LVP to Talo because it just does not know when to quit. It would rather work itself to the bone and potentially die than stop being stubborn. Like, its very nature, I guess, demands that it continue to fight. Like, that's what Dexter says about it. The Pokedex's entry on Talo in general is it's stubborn beyond all reasoning. It will fight to the death. It just doesn't know when to quit. So that's kind of par for the course for Talo. But this one is insane. It won't stop. And it nearly kills itself trying to prove a point. So
sounds like it needs a good trainer to teach it what to do.
I guess so. And I hope we really get that. I honestly can't remember Ash's like approach to training and like his dynamic with his Pokemon in this. So I'm kind of looking forward to like reliving that in a sense to see what happens. So we will find out. My quote, I guess this one from May at the very beginning when they're sitting around trying to figure out when lunch is going to magically just appear. May says a funny thing. She's like, you're the professional traveler, Ash. I'm surprised you'd forget something like our food. And that just tickled me because professional traveler. I guess in May's viewpoint and like her POV, Ash is supposed to know all this stuff. He's supposed to have all these survival skills and
preparedness.
He does not.
Because you know what? Brock is a crutch. Brock needs to let him go.
I mean, like I said, I love having Brock back for sure, but I think Brock needs to have a little bit more tough love towards Ash and be like, okay, look, I'm not going to be around forever with you. I'm just so happened to be here this time because I had to get away from my toxic mother and dad. But like, let's teach you some self-sufficient tips and tricks or whatever. Like,
you might be describing a future episode.
Ooh.
Not anytime soon, though. Anyway.
All right. Well, eventually.
All right.
Okay. That is it. Any other final thoughts, Austin?
Nope.
All right. So what do we have next week to look forward to?
We got the same format next week. The first one's a Chronicles and the second one's an Advanced. The Chronicles episode is called We're No Angels. Do you remember this one at all?
We're No Angels?
Yeah.
I do not. remember.
It is a wild episode.
Okay. All right.
The advanced episode is called In the Nicker of Time.
Okay. So we have those two to look forward to. I'm kind of curious what both of those are because I don't remember the Chronicles one at all. And advanced is like a void. So I'm not sure what's happening next. Yeah, advanced is a void
for me too.
Not really sure what's happening next, but I look forward to it all the same. We love to hear your feedback. We always enjoy reading it out at the beginning of the episode, so keep it coming, guys. If you want to get in touch with us, we have our Gmail account. You can always reach out to us there, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our Blue Sky, where Austin posts some really funny stuff all the time. The handle is @outofthedryingpan, so give us a follow over there. We also have our Instagram. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. We also have our Patreon. If you like what we do and would like to support us here on Out of the Drying Pan, we would very much appreciate it. We have all kinds of cool bonus content. We would really appreciate it if you guys checked us out over there. And as always, we like to say thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you next week as the journey continues.